Hey, it's Daniel Tardy. Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Did you know that the lessons taught by Dave in this podcast are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? Join us at our next event to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum in person. This is a special edition at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, May 5th through the 11th. To get more details or to register, give us a call at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Or check out the Master Series event at entreleadership.com.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, our lesson is about casting the vision. On top of that, we've got a great interview with two authors of the book, One Word. Yep, that's the name, One Word. Dan Britton and Jimmy Page. They're going to be joining us and explaining to us why there is an importance to have one solid word that you focus on throughout the whole year. Now, last episode, we shared a lesson about recognition and inspiration, and we had Robert D. Smith in the studio. If you did not hear that, and you need a jolt today, go back and listen to that podcast, because let me tell you, that guy has got more energy than anybody I know. I've had so many tweets. I've had so many people sending me, my gosh, I don't need coffee now. I just listened to that podcast, and I've gotten a lot of energy from Robert D. That guy is amazing. Today, Dave is going to be teaching about casting the vision. And by the way, for those of you that are setting your goals or have set your goals, the vision casting is the most important part before you get to the goal setting. So here is Dave Ramsey with Casting the Vision.
Dreams, visions, and goal setting. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, those of us that are evangelical Christians, we know what that is. If they put that up in church, it means we're getting ready to build a building. And so that's where I first saw it. And if you're ever preaching or doing anything around church or those kinds of things, and you were to pull out the Bible and you were to do a word study on vision, this is like the vision scripture. It just pops up. You hear preachers use this all the time. Anytime you're talking about vision or looking in the future or seeing things or thinking about how things are going to unfold or having this, you know, casting a vision, this idea, those kinds of things. Anytime you're doing a talk on that and you do a word study, boom, this will pop up. This is like the main thing. And so I always thought this was the vision scripture. Vision. But you know, from a business perspective, I think it's something else. I got to looking at it, and instead of vision being the key word I saw on there, I started seeing another word. Perish. This is the perish scripture. This is one that says you're going to die. You're going out of business. You're not going to make it. You're done. Roadkill. How do you get there? I have no vision. We all have that tendency to stray to the day-to-day tasks and making sure the day-to-day tasks are getting done. And then there are a few of you that have the tendency to stray and only do the strategic and never do the tactical, meaning you're always flying above things. You need to land and kill something. Most of you in this room don't struggle with that one, though. Most of us in this room, we're very tactical, and we have to push ourselves to be strategic, meaning that we'll do the detail thing, we'll make the widget, we'll make cash flow Friday, but we never get above the thing and see what it looks like. We never stop and look at the vision thing. Where you have no vision, where you have no distant sight, where you're not looking past Friday, you're no better than your employee that's saying, thank God it's Friday, oh God it's Monday. And you're setting yourself up for failure. We all kind of know that. Many of you have heard these kinds of talks before. Many of you have seen stuff like we're going to teach in this lesson before. And so for this, I need to remind you, this is just a reminder for those of you. I mean, the first time I saw this kind of material, I was 13, 14 years old. My parents were in the real estate business. They took us to a sales conference and we learned goal setting. Classic Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins type stuff, right? And so some of you have seen this stuff. You're going, yeah, I've seen that before. Here's an idea. I taught this to my team as a lesson in staff meeting not long ago. I had a 35-year-old guy with a master's degree come up to me and he goes, I've never seen that kind of thing. That is life-changing material. Why have you not taught that before? And I went, I thought everybody knew it. So two things. One is it's a reminder for you. But hey, I want you to take this and teach this lesson. or teach portions of this lesson one-on-one over coffee with some of your team. There's things here that you need to unpack for people. Dreams are wishes that seldom happen. Life doesn't hand you your dreams. If my daughter comes home and she's dating a guy and she says he's a dreamer, I think, oh God, they're going to live in the basement. Dreamer is not a positive connotation, because dreamers, when you say that about someone, it also indicates they tend to stop there. And you and I know we have to get up, leave the cave, kill something, and drag it home, or we're out of business. We know there has to be stuff drugged back to the cave that's dead. We know that roast duck does not land on your plate having flown through the window. You have to go shoot the duck, pluck the duck, cook the duck, and then you get to eat. We understand that, those of us that are in here running and owning and operating businesses. We grasp that stuff, but it does start with a dream. And some of you kind of forgotten that. So what I want to do is I want to kind of break it down and say, we're going to start with a dream, but the dream's a little fuzzy. It's kind of way up here in the clouds. It's not real defined. It's just kind of almost a feeling, a calling, if you will, a sense that I'm being pulled to something, this concept, and it's not ready for market yet. It starts there. Now, when we pull the dream down out of the clouds a little bit and it starts to take shape, some of the mist is starting to be blown off the edges of it. We can start to see what it looks like. Then I start to call that a vision. That's bringing it down to one more level. You've got to have a vision, but that is more defined. It's got more meat on its bones, so to speak, more clarity to it than just the dream. Vision that's ready to go to work is called a goal. Now, when we pull the dream from the clouds and we start to see what it looks like, it's a vision. Now, when we pull it down, it's got complete clarity. Now, we know exactly what this is, and now it's called a goal. But if you start with the goal, you're going to have a problem. If you start and end with the dream, you're going to have a problem. So you need to walk yourself and your organization through the process of there is a dream, not just a plan. The dream has got the why built into it. Why we do this. Why we're who we are. You pull it down to the vision level. Now when we're ready to put work clothes on, it's a goal. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to just start with a goal. I want to just start there. We're going to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move this many units. We're going to do revenue hits at this. We're going to crank the widgets at this level. We're going to show up. We're going to have this many people at Entree Leadership in Orlando. You know, all of that kind of thing. I have the tendency to start with a goal. And I have to make sure I go back and dream for a minute, pull it through the vision process, and then land on goal setting.
So folks, here's the thing. What you have to understand is, without vision, people perish. It's as simple as that. So many of us, so many people that are listening to the show right now, you worked at a dead-end job, you worked at a place that you did not have a vision, and you could not wait to get out. That is the way your team feels if they don't have a vision as well. That's why this is so important. Moving on today's show, we are joined by Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, who, along with former podcast guest John Gordon, just released a new book called One Word That Will Change Your Life. Yep, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And folks, let me tell you, as I went through this and I read that, I went, one word. One word, what can you get from that? But let me say, the process in this is outstanding. So please welcome to the show authors of the book One Word, Dan Britton and Jimmy Page. Welcome, guys. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Thanks
for having us.
So glad that you guys were able to join me today. Your book One Word, which is this concept. Well, I'm not going to explain the concept. How about you explain the concept? Tell us why you guys put this book together. Why did you write this?
Jimmy and I have been doing this since 1999. It's been an incredible discipline exercise that we've incorporated into our lives, personal lives, and into business and organizational life simply by the fact of our past experiences of doing New Year resolutions not working. You know how that works. 87% of all Americans do a New Year's resolution some way, some form, and yet 50% of those New Year resolutions fail after 30 days. And actually, by the end of the year, only 10% success rate. And we were kind of on that doom loop of constantly just trying to hit the reset button and realize that we were going to try one more time, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we're going to make this thing work. And in 1999, a simple concept that a friend shared with me on a drive to speak at a conference, a youth conference, and my friend shared with me, what would be your one word for the upcoming year? And I was all fired up, and I said, great. I gave him my little sermon and gave him about 15 minutes worth of all my goals and hopes and dreams for the upcoming year. And he said, he looked at me, he's a former NFL player, so he's big and intimidating. He looked at me and said, Dan, I think you're really stupid. I said, for one word. So, you know, I kind of go, okay, Steve, I'll give you my one word. And, of course, my one word was actually six words, kind of a vision statement. He says, Dan, I asked for simply just one word for the year. And I realize whenever you're trapped, you always turn it back on them, right? That's mm-hmm. good leadership.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
So I flipped it back on him. And I said, Steve, all right, you know, what's your word? And with absolute clarity and simplicity, Steve said, my word for the year is harvest. Still remember it. I mean, that was 12, 13 years ago. And he said, harvest. I said, harvest? I was like, what are you talking about, harvest? He says, Dan, I speak all over the country to young people, and I desire to see the seeds that I'm planting will create a next generation leadership that will have a heart for God. Mm. And it was so powerful. When he said his one word, I said, Steve, I don't know what my word for the year is going to be. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek some solitude, and I'll discover my one word. And 2 weeks later, I came back to him and said, Steve, my word for the year is intimacy. I want to have intimacy in relationships, intimacy with my family, intimacy in my faith, and that was a game-changing year for me. And that's how I stumbled into the one word, and I shared it with Jimmy. He was an accountability partner, and I said, Jimmy, you got to do this. Everything we've been doing has failed. And then Jimmy started doing it too.
Jimmy, why don't you share your story as well? Because you guys all share your stories. Dan, Jimmy, and John Gordon, you all put the book together. You all share your story. What is your story on this, Jimmy?
Well, it's interesting because Dan shared this concept with me, and we had been doing life together as accountability partners for probably 6 or 7 years at this point. And so I had gotten to see Dan's resolutions year after year, and we had actually, because we're athletes, had created a game plan for the year. And the game plan, if you ever see the coaches on the sideline, they got those huge pieces of laminated paper with the calls they're going to make no matter what situation arises in life. That's kind of the way we approached life change. And we were not having success. And when he shared it with me, I have to tell you, I really thought it was probably too good to be true. I was craving simplicity and craving life change. And I really was not experiencing, I didn't feel like at the time, the abundant life that God desired, you know. So when he told me, I said, I'm in. I'll try anything. In fact, I was looking for an excuse to scrap the game plan because it wasn't working for me anyway. And my first word for the year was simplicity. It was this idea of being able to say no to some things in order to be able to say yes to some better things and to create some space in my life where God could start to work on my heart, work in my relationships, and bring the life change that I desired.
Now, which is a great word to have, because the concept is simple. The effort, it does take some effort to do this, and folks, you need to get this book and see this process. You say in the book, a life focused with one word becomes a force that can cut through the status quo. What does that mean?
We believe the status quo is just the hustle and bustle of life. We have a phrase we talk about that people gravitate toward complexity, not simplicity.
That's not true.
We actually leak simplicity. And as a result of it, commitments, responsibility, family, jobs, just life just goes on and more pile up. And before you know it, you're just overwhelmed with life and everything that you have to do. And then we approach the same thing when it comes to resolutions and goals. And we kind of reverse that and say, really, it's not setting to do goals, but rather to be goals. Mm. And it's not what you want to try to accomplish, but who you want to become for the year. And with one word, it's discovering that word that's meant for you that cuts through all the clutter and chaos and creates simplicity, power, and focus.
And I love that it is not just a – it's not just about resolutions. Like, that's one of the biggest things that you guys realized. People fail at resolutions. There's a reason that they fail at resolutions. The words – the one word, the book, is not just about that. It's a focus on what are you going to do this whole next year? And it's that – that's – it's taking it past just a resolution of, oh, well, I want to lose weight. You know, I want to be a better father. It actually is something that encompasses all of those.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things we discovered early on was that by narrowing our focus to just one simple word for the year, that would really act as a filter for all of the aspects of our life. So we see life in kind of six dimensions. You know, there's physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, mental, and financial. And we really had a desire to still change in many of those areas or all of those areas. We wanted to see God change us into his likeness and bring about life change. So by narrowing the focus to one word, it actually brings broad life change in all those categories. So I think to answer the first part of your question is, you know, the first year that I used a very small word was in 2011, and the word was life. And that year, I thought I was going to encounter that abundant life, that John 10:10, you know, Christ has come not just to give you life, but give it to the full. And I was all geared up for that year. And throughout the year, by narrowing my focus and seeing God's hand move in different areas of my life, I realized that some of my thought patterns were not bringing me life. They actually were negative or critical. And then I started listening to some of the words I was speaking to those that were most important to me in my life and the relationships that I had, and I was missing opportunities to breathe life into them, to breathe those life-giving words of encouragement and belief and possibility. And so it began this process of refining me relationally in my thought patterns, even in the words I was speaking, and then ultimately even in the food that I was eating. I discovered that a lot of the choices I was making was not promoting life. I was eating some food, and I'm a wellness nut. I've been in that industry for a long, long time. But I started to make different decisions based upon my long-term health objectives. So that one simple word of life brought change in almost every aspect of my life for that year.
Now, the book is a quick read. You guys made this. It's about, I don't know, probably half hour, 45-minute read. And there's a process in there. You go through the different processes of coming up with the one word, the things that you need to do. Now, obviously, you can't explain it all because you drill down in the book. And again, folks, you got to get it for that process. But can you explain what the process is?
Well, the first step of the process is looking in. It's where you're preparing your heart, because we believe that this process is a process of discovery. And when we're able to kind of unplug from the busyness of life, you know, each one of us has a degree of chaos going on in our lives, whether it's family and work and trying to balance all of that stuff. And what we've discovered is that first step of looking in, preparing your heart, unplugging from the busyness and the pace of life, to be able to get quiet with God and ask him questions. Hey, you know, what do I need most? What's in the way of me becoming the man or the woman of God that you want me to be? And what are some things maybe that you want to deal with this year? What needs to go? So that first step of looking in is really unplugging, finding solitude and silence, and saying, Lord, I've got some questions, and I'm ready to listen.
The second step is once you look in, you want to look up. And we believe that after your heart's prepared, looking up is when actually you discover your word. And we're very careful when we talk about this step that it's not simply picking your word. Some people go, hey, just pick a word, get
just
it out.
Pick a word, that's what you do, yeah.
Figure it out. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of put a little weight to this. This step is, you know, the first step of what Jimmy just explained about preparing your heart and looking in and getting solitude and some silence and getting away from everything and asking those questions. The look up is actually when you unplugged in the first step. The second step is you actually plug back in. And we believe you plug in by looking up to God and saying, God, there's a word that's meant for me. It's not about picking a word like pulling a rabbit out of the hat or even putting on, you know, a jacket and trying it out for size. This word is the word that's meant for you. And sometimes it's not a thing you want to rush into it, but as you plug back in and listen, what are you listening? You're listening to God. You're listening to understand what that word is for your year. And we believe that that discovery process, that revelation process of receiving your word for the year is a significant step.
The third step is really where kind of where the rubber meets the road. It's this idea that now that we've, you know, prepared our heart, heard from God, discovered that word, and, you know, as Dan says, you know, we're really looking for a God word, not a good word. I think early on, Dan and I would agree, we did pick words. You know, we thought, hey, this is what I need most. This is what I'm going to work on. Let's go for it. And then we finally said, hey, no, it's a process of surrender. Receive the word that God has for you for that year, and then live it out. And this speaks to that idea of keeping that word front and center, getting creative with being able to post it, whether it's in your kitchen or maybe it's on your screensaver on your computer. It's telling that inner circle of friends that you're on this journey and sharing your word with them so that it remains front and center, top of mind. Because we know that resolutions fail primarily because we list too many of them, and then we put them in a drawer, much like a mission statement, you know, that a lot of companies do. They create these great game plans and mission statements, and then they never revisit it. We know that this one word, focusing in on this one word, has to remain top of mind, front and center. And this is the process of discovering on a daily basis and on a weekly basis how God is transforming you by narrowing the focus to that one word.
Now, one of the things you talk about in the book is busyness and how much of a damaging effect it has on us. Talk about what you see as busyness and why it's so bad.
For me, busyness, gosh, I'll tell you this. If you look at your calendar, for instance, on any given day, any given week, and you've committed to more things than you have the capacity to get done, that is a problem. That's busyness. And a lot of times, busyness, we think that activity actually means achievement. And the problem is a lot of times we'll fill up our schedule on a daily basis with a lot of B and C priorities, stuff that maybe needs to get done but maybe isn't all that important. And we think that by being busy, we're somehow important. Mm-hmm. And incredibly, though, God is saying, hey, wait a minute. I actually have some things I want you to get done today. I have some things that I want to accomplish in your heart, in your mind, in your life, and some things that I want you to do. And it reminds me kind of the way Jesus was. In any given day, if you can imagine the amount of healings that he could have done, but God said, here's what I've got for you today. In his conversation with the Father, his Father would say, here's what I have for you today. And then Jesus would go and do those things. Nothing more, nothing less. He was faithful to do and say just what the Father told him to do and say. We, a lot of times, we're not satisfied with that. We want to cram as much in as possible, and consequently, we crowd out the ability for God to really be effective in our lives because we're so busy and blown up with all the things we've got to get done in a day.
Yeah, busyness is something that Jimmy and I have realized it's a constant battle. It's just something that it plagues our society, plagues our families, plagues our businesses and organizations. And I think one of the best definitions I've ever heard of busyness is when we stop caring about the things we care about. And there's a lot of things we care about. We care about our family. We care about relationships. We care about our faith in God. But we don't put the time and energy into those very things that we care mostly about, because simply we're in the rat race. I used to have a pastor that I loved when I was in high school. He would say to us, Dan, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. And it's not about running the rat race. It's about running the right race. And busyness prevents us from running the right race. And that's why we believe the one word is so powerful, because the one word refocuses our energies and efforts and our attention and simplifies it where we want to add more. This narrows it down for laser-like focus, for power in simplicity.
Now, one of the pieces of the process, and again, I love how you guys structured this because it definitely gets you in a place where you can focus on the right one word as opposed to just coming up with a word. But one of the pieces of that process is you suggest we unplug for a bit. As I'm going through the book and I'm reading this, I'm like, huh, yeah, that's probably the most difficult piece for leaders and entrepreneurs is to be able to unplug. I know for me, it takes me days just to unplug if I go on vacation. So what does that look like for most? And have you seen that being a difficult thing for people?
Oh, there is no question. Unplug. This comes up as the number one question so often is, how on earth do I unplug? I mean, have you seen when my alarm clock goes off, my feet hit the floor and we are running? And the truth is, that is very common. And it is painful to get to a place where you can actually unplug your mind, unplug, you know, from the schedule that awaits you. It is the greatest challenge. And for us, each one of us has to find the unique things in our life that help us unplug. For me, one of the most effective times for me to unplug is when I'm exercising at the gym. I'll be on the treadmill or riding my bike outside, and that's when God speaks most clearly to me because I'm not distracted by the things that typically would take my attention and my time and my focus. So each one of us hears differently and has to find those unique ways to unplug so that we can engage God.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah, the silence and solitude is probably the hardest thing out of the whole entire concept. Because, like you said, it takes days and weeks, even for vacation, to get to the place that you're beginning to think right thoughts and begin to feel your heart again. It's like, wow, it's not stone. I actually got a real heart that can process and feel things. And this is why we say don't rush in to this whole concept of one word. This discipline, this exercise, the more we talk to people that have done it for 5-10 years and they have a few more years underneath them, they're taking it more serious and they allow more time as years go by because they realize the transformational power of it. Therefore, they're willing to put the preparation on the front end. And we know that as business leaders and organizational leaders that a successful life is a disciplined life. And a disciplined life is knowing the rhythm of your day and discovering that you're putting these things, intentionally putting things into your life like solitude, like silence, so that you can hear and process and be the leader that God made you to be.
And it gets so much junk and so much clutter out of the way. And I've got to say that that is a fantastic thing for you to do, not just in this process, but getting through this process is finding that time and that solitude. I'd like to hear from both of you two last things. One, if you could go back and tell the younger version of you something, what would that be? And two, what is the one thing you want all leaders and entrepreneurs who are listening to this to know?
Well, I think for me, the answer to that is pretty easy, that don't try and do everything. Because in the pursuit of doing everything, you don't do anything as well as you would like. I remember early on in my career and as a young man, just this sense of having energy and having vision and focus and just driving really hard and, you know, trying to do everything. But then ultimately realizing that there was a lot of mediocrity, you know, that there was a lot of things that I thought I was going to be capable of doing with excellence, but because I tried to do everything, nothing was done as well as it could have been. So, and I think that's true for us as business people, as entrepreneurs, as people in ministry, is this idea that if you try and get everything done, if you try and tackle everything conceivable, you will not be as effective in the most important things. So find the things that you are uniquely gifted to do, narrow your focus, and get those things done with excellence.
I think for me, I would say to the younger Dan Britton, when I was a little lad and starting out leadership and starting out in organizational leadership, I think we talk about it in the book about preparing your heart is just the saying, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I'm an action guy. I'm a get-it-done guy. I'm a passion guy. I'm a guy that's going to figure it out once I jump into it and get on my feet. But now more, after 22 years of being involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and now working at the level of a vice president and developing things organizationally, I'm realizing what we talk about, that Abraham Lincoln said that if he had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. And I think I would have said, hey, if I have 8 hours to chop down the tree, I would have spent 1 hour just chopping the tree down and get it done and accomplish it. And I'm recognizing now as I wouldn't say a mature leader, but a growing leader, that the preparation is essential. Absolutely. That I believe that as a young guy, I didn't value preparation and didn't therefore do it as much as I should. And now I'm recognizing more and more time, I'm pulling away, preparing things, organizing things, and getting my heart and mind around things and making sure that the preparation is put in. Mm. And I would say that I would encourage leaders on that, is that leadership is not about accomplishing things. It's not about activity. It's about who you become. It's about the character of a leader more than what they can accomplish. And that's what I think every leader needs to know.
I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much. Folks listening out there, the book is One Word from Dan Britton, Jimmy Page, and John Gordon. Guys, where can they get the book? Where can they get more of you?
Well, the easiest place to get the book is at Amazon.com, or you can go to our website, which is getoneword.com, getoneword.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for coming out and do this. We really appreciate it. And folks, make sure that you get out there and get this book.
Thanks for having us. It's good to be on.
Thanks, guys. Well, I got to be honest. As I picked up this book, and Becky gave this to me and said, listen, we got to have these guys on the show. As I picked up this book, I thought to myself, one word. Come on. How difficult can that be? How difficult can that be to come up with one word? Do we need a book on this? As I dove into the book, the thing that jumped out of me the most is exactly what they said on the show. It's not just coming up with one word. It's coming up with a word that helps you become that person for the next year. Whatever that is, wherever you need to be, the thing that you need to focus on, it challenges you every step of the way. Everything that you're doing, you apply this one word. It's kind of like a mission statement, only it's one word. So for me, I thought that was very powerful. What did you get out of it, Becky?
I mean, that statistic that they shared about the fact that 88% of people, that adults that make New Year's resolutions, are going to bail on them by the end of the year, and that 50% are just going to bail on them after just 1 month. And so part of that could be that it's just kind of overwhelming to have this giant list of New Year's resolutions. So one word really kind of simplifies and gives you focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I was actually surprised. I thought it would be more than 50.
Yeah.
Because I see people do it all the time. I'm like, you know, I don't even ask anymore, what's your New Year's resolution? Because I know they're going to be like, oh, well, it was this, mm-hmm. but now it's no longer. Well,
now you're going to ask what their word is.
What is your one word that's going to make that happen? Well, again, folks, we want to thank Dan and Jimmy for joining us on the show. Announcements coming up this week. This Thursday at 9 a.m., we'll be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Start your workday with an hour discussing your challenges and questions with members of Dave's business coaching team. Did we mention that this is completely free? Yep, it always is. There's no charge whatsoever. So go to daveramsey.com/entreeleadership this Thursday and take your leadership to the next level. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at @entreeleadership or email us your questions and comments at podcast@entreeleadership.com. Don't forget to head on over to the business section of daveramsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. It is free. Again, it's free. And it's good stuff. If you want to hear all the Entree Leadership lessons from Dave, attend our next Entree Leadership Master Series here in Nashville from May 5th through the 11th. It's going to be at our headquarters here in Nashville, Tennessee. You do not want to miss that. We're hosting this event at our offices to give you a front row seat to the experience that is the Entree Leadership culture in action, where it all began. At this event, Dave will not only teach you how to take your business to the next level, but he will also personally interact with you over the course of the whole week-long event. This event is limited to only 150 people, and it always sells out quickly. So make sure that you're going to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership or call the Entree Leadership team at 888-227-3223. As always, I've got to thank the people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our executive producer. Colin Fatke and Bobby Robertson, our audio engineers. Becky Powell, our
chief wordsmith.
Our chief wordsmith. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Our chief wordsmith. Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, and obviously Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out there. Change your life, change your leadership, and change your business. And join us on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.